You got a handout here. On Thursday nights, we're continuing in our series about being a disciple, the dynamics of a disciple. And for the first 10 weeks, we've been on a certain aspect that disciples are followers of Christ, and we looked at that thoroughly. And tonight, we're going to shift a little bit to a different direction with that. Remember that a disciple is one who is more than a Christian. Not that they're more saved, okay? You're saved. But you're more than just being content with being saved. You have a deeper Christian life. A disciple is one whose life is more than just having salvation. Salvation has them. It's more than just having Jesus. Jesus has them. We saw early on that the dictionary defines a disciple as a follower or student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. And one who learns from that the person whom they are following or whom they are disciple of. In a biblical sense, we are learners and students of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just learners, we learn on a level so that we can do that which we are learning that he wants us to do. So the first 10 weeks, we looked at the fact that disciples are followers. Now we're going to start on another aspect of being a disciple. A disciple, and this one's a little tougher, and we have to understand this. A disciple is one who will accept the requirements of being disciple that are set forth in Scripture. In other words, if I'm saved and I'm a Christian now and I'm going to be a disciple, there are requirements. Look at the verses at the top of our sheet. We're not going to go through these per se, but this kind of teaches the principle. In Luke chapter 9, it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I mean, you think he would jump up and down and like, we got one. Here's someone that's going to be loyal and follow. I mean, they're all in, and they came up and they volunteered that information. Well, Jesus didn't exactly jump up and down. Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He gave him a reality check. He said, "You want to follow me? This is what's going to happen." Verse 59, and he said unto another, "Follow me." Now he goes up to one and says, "Hey, why don't you follow me?" This one he asked. The guy didn't volunteer. But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Not necessarily his father was dead. He was waiting for him, and then I'm going to bury it. And I'll move it because you're not ready for it. We're not going to do it. And then verse 61, and another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go and bid them farewell which are at my house." And he said unto them, "No man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, if you were to look at Jesus, you would say he's not really good at assimilation. He is not good at getting people to stay. Okay? Jesus wasn't being mean-spirited here when he said those things, but Jesus was being honest. And what he was saying is, you better understand what you're getting yourself into, because there are certain things that you have to do. There are requirements. And that's what we see. And if we're going to be a disciple, we're going to say, "I'll accept the requirements that are set forth in Scripture so that I can truly be his disciple." So if disciples accept requirements, and this is all introduction, well, let's answer some questions about requirements. Okay? I got several of them here, and I'm going to answer them for you. What is a requirement? What is a requirement? A requirement is a thing demanded or mandatory. Something that is not optional. That's what a requirement is. A requirement is not like, if you feel like it, do it. It's mandatory. It's something you have to do. It's not being a disciple of Christ, if there are requirements, it's not cafeteria style. It's not a buffet to where you walk up and say, you know, I'll take this, but I won't take this. That's not how it works in Christianity. If we're going to be the disciple that Christ wants us to be, we have to take it all. Okay? If he says it, we got to be in on it. Not that it's easy, and not that we may not completely understand it, but we understand that he said it, and if we're going to be a disciple, we better just be in on what he's in on, and we're going to do it. So that's a requirement. By the way, it is in our nature to protest and not like requirements. That's just how it is. We don't like it. We don't like rules. We don't like regulations. We don't like things you have to do. That's our flesh. But you know what? It's life. Well, man, it's too restrictive, bro. I'm just kind of, okay, it's life. We have to be willing to do the requirements. In a spiritual sense, we don't like Jesus' requirements because we want a sloppy, half-hearted commitment. See, if there's requirements, that means I need to commit. We don't like commitment. We want something where we can get in, but if it gets a little hot, we can get out. That doesn't work. Jesus isn't looking for that. He's looking for someone that says, if it gets a little hot, I'm going to stay in. And if it gets a little difficult, I'm still going to stick it out. So what's a requirement? The next little thing is, how do we fulfill a requirement? Well, there's two ways I thought of. First of all, being submissive to it. Being submissive to it is saying, I will put myself under it. That's submission. Submission says, I won't do what I want. This is the requirement, and I'm going to willingly submit myself to this requirement. God does not force us to do what he tells us to do. Now, I will say this, if we don't do what he tells us to do, it's sin, and there's certain consequences that are built into it, okay? That's your choice. But he wants us to be willing to say, if he can be my Savior, I want him to be my Lord and my Master. Now, I understand he's the Lord and the Master, but I'm letting him be the Lord and Master of my life. And so we have to submit to it. When we submit, we are, as I mentioned, we are accepting of it, and we are willing to do what he says. Then it has to go past that point to say where we are being obedient to it. We actually do it. A lot more people say they're going to do something than actually do it, right? I mean, you know, it's easy to sign up for something, and then to show up is completely different. It's easy when things are emotional, or you're at church, or you're alone with God reading your Bible, to learn something and say, that's going to be a part of my life, than to actually make it a part of your life when it costs you time, when it costs you whatever it is, or someone's pushing you in a different direction. That's where the rubber meets the road. So we need to be willing to submit to God's requirements and say, now that I'm submitted, I will do it. That's the acting part. That's the working part. Another question we need to understand about requirements is, if really the thing of a requirement is something we are supposed to be obedient to, does God require obedience? Does he? By the way, we have a very sloppy Christianity. We blame it on grace. Not grace. We blame it on God's grace. You know, well, you know, I'm under grace. I don't have to do that. You know what? God begs to differ. Okay? Look at these verses. The Old Testament. Yes, God does require obedience. Leviticus 22:31. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. Why? I am the Lord. So if we're submitting to his requirements because we're submitting to him, he is the Lord, then we'll do what he says. It's not that big an issue. When we are not willing to do what he says, we may not like to hear this, but it's the truth. Whenever, and all of us at some point or another have maybe done it, but whenever we are choosing not to do what he says, we're not rejecting his requirements. You ready for this? It's difficult. We're rejecting him. Right. His requirements. You know, I just don't feel like doing, you know, keep my, I don't want to do it. I'm the Lord. We don't do it because of any other reason than he's the Lord. And I want to do what he says because I want to be his disciple. And if I don't do that, I'm rejecting him, not his commandments. Leviticus 26:3, if ye walk in my statutes and keep them and do them. Deuteronomy 5:10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then Joshua 22:5. Joshua telling the children of Israel right before he's to pass on and they're to go on. They got a lot of work to do. He says, but take a diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It doesn't take a lot of reading in the Old Testament to realize something. God expects us to be obedient to what he says we are to do. Non-optional. Okay? Now, it's optional in the sense of you don't have to do it, but it's not optional in the sense that you're going to get away with it. Yeah. That there won't be a price to pay. And so, God does respect, require obedience. Well, I'm a New Testament Christian. I thought you might say that. Did Jesus demand obedience? Yeah. Yes, he does. Or yes, he did. Whatever way you want to go. Jesus said this. Now, this is a little bit tougher if you think about it. If you love me, keep my commandments.
There you go.
You know. Jesus equated your love for him to your obedience to him. Now, I wouldn't say this, but Jesus kind of did. So if I don't obey him, do I really, really, really love him? I don't hate him, and I don't think anybody does hate him. I don't think anybody does. But the point is this. Our love isn't true love if we're not willing to do what he says. Okay? True love is, I'm going to do what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God. Oh, man. I just love Jesus. Okay, good. That we keep his commandments. You know, I just love God. And at our church, we just focus on the love of Jesus, man. Good. You're obeying him then. Huh? Yeah. No, what they mean by that is they want sloppy Christianity that does what it wants without any accountability, thinking that they love Jesus. And I'm not being condemning of them, but I'm just telling you, Jesus says the love of God is that we keep his commandments. Okay? It's hard for me to tell Jesus I love him if at every turn I'm doing my own thing and not doing what he wants me to do. Because he made it really clear. He wants me to love him. And if I love, and by the way, let me say this. When we think about that sometimes, that sounds a little demanding. Yes, but the reason he wants us to obey him is because he loves us. And he understands the last part of 1 John 5:3, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not hurtful. Fact of the matter is, you know what's hurtful? Not doing what he says. We'll get into it later, but doing what he says will keep you from a lot of issues.
Yes, sir.
Really will. And so, we need to understand that Jesus. Now, here we go. This is modern day Christianity on this last one, or second to last one. Is being a disciple a relationship thing? You know, it's just, I have a relationship with God. And I hear sometimes, and I keep up with things in the Christian world, you know, and it's like, you know, I know they're not Christians like you guys, but you know, you can't tell me they say they love Jesus and they just have this relationship with God. How dare you say, it's not me daring to say it. It's God daring to say it. Okay? You can't separate relationship and obedience. That is impossible. Now, I could go back to the verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is a relationship. You understand that, right? But I just, you know, I'm close to God, and I read my Bible, and I want you to be close to God, and I want you to read your Bible every day, but if you ain't doing what he said, you don't have a relationship. I'm just going to, let's just get over that. Being a disciple is an obedience thing. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide. You're living in his love. As I have kept My Father's commandments abide in his love. I'm in the love of God. Great. What verse did you obey this week? Come on. Don't give me this stuff. Well, our church, we love Jesus, you know, and we sit out, we go drinking together. You don't love him. Or you're simple and you don't understand the scriptures. Or you've been deceived by somebody. Don't give me that. I don't even want to hear that stuff anymore. Okay? Well, you know, they're Christians. They're just not like us. And they go to church and they say they love God. That's between them and God. But don't look at that and start looking down on your Christianity, because I'm just going to stick with the Bible every single time. The Bible tells me if I love him, I'm going to keep his commandments. And I don't care how many bumper stickers someone has, how many Bibles they carry, how spiritual they are. If they don't obey God and it's not evident in their life, I don't care what they say. They don't love Jesus. Well, Pastor Myers, are you saying you're perfect? No. That hurts to say that. No, I'm not perfect. Neither are you. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying the direction of our life should be, though, I want to obey Jesus.
Amen.
I really do want to do what he says. That's the point I'm making. And let's not, look, when we settle for a Christianity that thinks it's cool to do your own thing, but show up to church and do whatever it is you do and say you love Jesus, but you don't obey him, you're losing out.
Yep.
That's the biggest issue. You are losing out on something wonderful. Okay? That didn't go over very well. Thanks for coming, though. But you have to understand this. Obedience, and say, so my relation with Jesus isn't important? No, no, no. I want you to understand this. Yes, a relationship with Jesus is important, because that relationship with Jesus will lead to obedience to Jesus. It will lead you to be a disciple. It will lead you to willingly find out what the Bible says and do it. Okay? Let's flip the other side of the coin for a minute. So I'm not having a close relationship with Jesus, but I'm trying to keep, you know, the spiritual rules, and I'm trying to be obedient or whatever. That's not going to work either. Because the relationship is what causes you to want to be obedient, and it gives you the power to be obedient. So the two go together. But I'm just saying, don't fall for this, like, you know, the two go together. Look, now think with me. It's kind of incompatible to say, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't want to obey him and be his disciple. That doesn't make sense. That's like going to work and telling your boss, I want to be a really good employee, but I'm never going to show up on time. I may not show up at all, and I'm not going to do anything I'm supposed to do. We have a word for that. Two of them, actually. You're fired. You're fired. Go home. Your boss would not be unjust, right? Hey, I thought you were here to pack the boxes. I didn't feel like packing the boxes today. I felt like drawing. Well, go home and draw. You're fired. And we think that, you know, I love Jesus. I just want to do my own thing. It's kind of incompatible. Remember this. Different truths don't cancel each other out. See, that's what this bad type of Christianity, you know, it's just all about relationship. And you people that say you ought to obey God, man, you don't understand a relationship with Jesus. Be quiet. I understand a relationship with Jesus. And if you did too, you would want to obey him.
Yep.
Okay? And you hear people, they suck. Oh, you know, that's just, you know, keeping rules. I'm not keeping rules. I'm just trying to do what the Bible says. Okay. Yes, we grow in grace by our relationship with God. I had a guy one time, he was doing something crazy. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm under grace, bro. You ain't under anything. Okay? I'm like, you're going to blame your crazy activity on the fact you're under grace? Now, I do understand we grow in grace, right? But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in Peter. But you also understand this. This is what we don't understand. We also obey by grace. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You ready for the next two words? God forbid. Let me boil that down into today's lingo. No way, Jose. Not happening. Not true. That's what that is. Grace actually teaches us to not live in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That wouldn't make a good worship song, okay? They won't sing that at the church. But Grace teaches us the opposite. We grow in grace. We experience God's wonderful grace. But you know, that wonderful grace we experience also helps us to live right. Okay, we better move on. And then lastly, am I accepted just as I am? For salvation? Yes. For discipleship? No. No. Well, it just seems in my area, there's a lot of these goofy churches. They don't throw up Christian flags. They throw up rainbow flags. I don't understand that. But one of them says, Jesus didn't reject anybody, and neither do we. Now, I can help them with that. Read their Bible. If you come to Jesus for salvation, he will never reject you. But if you come to him to live for him on your own terms, we're going to look at the verses later. You cannot be my disciple. You know what that means? Rejected.
Yep.
Not for salvation. Nobody's rejected. If you want salvation, come. But if you want to be his disciple and you want to live a greater life, you better do what he says, or else he does not. That's very early on in the Bible, is it not? Didn't Cain and Abel bring their sacrifices to God? Man, they're giving God something. They're bringing sacrifices. God says, I don't want that. I'll accept yours. I don't want that one. You know what he did? He rejected it because it's not what he wanted. Okay? So, am I accepted as I am? If for salvation, yes, but not for discipleship. Jesus said in John 15:14, ye are my friends. Come in, group hug. Oh, wait, next word. Back her up a notch. If you do whatsoever I command you. You know what Jesus said? It's back to the relationship thing. Our closeness to him is determined by our obedience to him. There is no way around it. And I would not be a good pastor if I didn't tell you that. If I got up and said, let's just be sloppy, let's just do what we want, we'll all worship God, we'll sing the goofy songs, you can dress like the devil and listen to all that garbage, and Jesus loves you on your way to heaven, he does love you, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not being obedient. And you're not going to be close to him. Okay? And so we need to understand these things. Before you were saved, you were faced with a choice. Here it is. I think it's on your paper there. Will I receive God's free gift of eternal life, or will I reject God's free gift of eternal life? By the way, why does God reject us? Let's go back to that one, because we rejected him.
Yeah.
Ta-da. All right. Will I receive God's free gift of eternal life, or will I reject receive it or reject it? And by the way, that's the most important decision you're ever going to make. Right? Thank God, I believe most of us here, if I know most of you, you've received him as your Savior. That's wonderful news. Okay, so now, what happens though when it comes to that choice? There are consequences to that decision, are there not? Look at the first one. If we receive, great eternity. Great eternity. Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's free. And by the way, it's eternal. It lasts forever. Thank God for that. Look what else he says. John 14:3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Sounds like eternity is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Jesus has been working on our place for a while, and it's going to be great if we receive Christ. Now, if we reject that, bad eternity. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but here it is. Romans 6:23, the first part. For the wages of sin is death. A gift is nice, right? You know, it's Christmas. You know what you get under the Christmas tree at Christmas? Most of you are going to get coal probably, right? Because you're bad. But you get a gift. Something somebody else paid for and something someone gave you out of the goodness of their heart. How would you like it if on Christmas morning you opened up your present and it was a bill? A wage. Brother, you owe me 20 bucks. I'm going to try that. Like, you know, just this Christmas, you know what I want? I want you to pay the electric bill this month. Amen? Just put that in your stocking. Okay? Okay? So that's not a gift. It's a wage. You have to pay it. What is that payment? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That doesn't sound good. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'll say this in 2 or 3 minutes and we're done. Just like salvation is a decision, look at your paper. If you make the right decision about salvation, then you are still faced with a choice. Ready? Will I decide to be a disciple and true follower of Christ, or will I decline to be a disciple and follower of Christ? I don't want to use the term of someone who's saved, I'm a Christ follower, because if just because you're saved doesn't make you a Christ follower. We're just followers of Christ. Prove it. How can you be a follower of Christ if you're going a different direction? So I don't like those terms. Okay? They always have to have some little cute term. I like Christian. And I know not everybody's a Christian. I get it. But it's still what they call it in the Bible. So now I'm saved. I still have a choice. You ready? I'm going to decide to be a disciple, or I'm going to decline to be one. Now, there are consequences there. We'll do these. We're done. The first one is declined, which means you are an unsuccessful disciple. You can write it any way you want. You can try to, you know, paint the brush any way you want. Bottom line, you're not a successful. You're unsuccessful. You're unsuccessful as a disciple. I like that in John 6:60. The crowd was. By the way, look at that reference there. John 6:66. Okay, think about that for a minute. The crowd was there. He told them the truth, and what happened? From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what they said? Out. They checked out. They declined to really follow him. They did. They were unsuccessful as a disciple. But these, I know, they go to church every week. Okay. And you can go to church every week. But if we're not willing to try to draw close to him and do what he says, we are unsuccessful as a disciple. Yep. Now, a lot of us, we're still growing at it. You know what I'm saying? We're not perfect. Don't think because I'm getting a little straightforward that I'm saying, you know, we're all perfect at it. We'll see next week. It's a process. So sometimes in the process, oops, but we get back on track. When I talk about being obedient, I don't mean perfection. I mean it's like in the book of Proverbs when we talk about wisdom. We were teaching on fools, not because there's fools in the church, because a fool is one who defies and ignores God's principle, but sometimes wise people in a certain area can do a foolish thing, right? And sometimes we're not right. But our direction should be, this is the way I want to go. But if our whole life is like, then we're unsuccessful as a disciple. What if we decide we're a successful disciple? Look what happened. After the crowd bailed out, look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Why is it the 12? They were probably the only ones left. Everybody bolts. Church closed, revival meeting over. No decisions. Well, there was plenty of decisions, but they weren't to be baptized. Amen? And he says, you guys leaving too? Look what I believe Peter steps up to the plate. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Peter says? We don't have anywhere to go because I don't get everything, but I'm positive that you're the Christ. By the way, did Peter have his issues? But you know what? Even when Peter had his issues, he still wanted to go the right direction for Christ. He had some missteps, but Peter was like, he was trying to do the right thing. And so, as a disciple, am I going to be a successful disciple, or am I going to be unsuccessful? Here's the thought I want to leave you with. I think there's a reason we struggle with making the wrong decision about discipleship. Could be that we don't see the result of that decision being as bad as the result of a wrong decision about salvation. Think about that for a minute. We thought about our eternal soul and we realized if we don't trust Christ, eternity is bad. Hell is not good. But the same people that believe in Jesus Christ enough to say, I'm going to trust him to take me to heaven, I'm putting my eternal soul, can't trust him with this life on this earth. You know why? They don't think making that decision wrong is as bad because, hey, I'm not going to hell. Have you ever heard someone say that? Yeah. What? I'm not going to go to hell. You know, I say, you know, do you smoke? Well, I'm not going to go to hell. No, you just smell like you've been there. Okay, whatever. That old joke. But it's like, I'm not going, it's not a matter of going to hell. You're right, you're still going to heaven. But you're going to have a miserable trip on the way, and you're going to miss out on some of the rewards you could have had in heaven. Yes, heaven's still going to be good. The worst of heaven will be better than the best of this earth. I get it. But you're missing out on rewards, and you will stand before God as I will stand before God. But it's easy for us to make that decision when, why shouldn't it just be easy? Say, if I've given you my eternal soul, how come I can't give you my life? And try to live for you. All right, let's pray.